Hello, this is Peter Hendricks from YECO, and we are going to talk about anemia, iron deficient anemia, especially in IBD. Peter, could you tell us what the magnitude of anemia as a problem in IBD is?
Well, anemia in IBD has been overlooked for many years. It is the most common extraintestinal manifestation in IBD, and according to epidemiological data, it occurs in about one-third of the IBD patients. Iron deficiency is even more common, and there you have reports that up to 45% of the IBD patients suffer from iron deficiency. And of course, this has an important impact on their quality of life.
How do you diagnose iron deficiency in IBD?
Well, in IBD patients without any clinical or histological evidence of inflammation, the diagnosis of iron deficiency is made as in the general population. And this means that the transferrin saturation should be below 20% and the serum ferritin should be below 30 micrograms per liter. In case you have active inflammation, the diagnosis is a bit more complex, as anemia in that case is often, with a component of iron deficiency, but also with a component of anemia of chronic disease. And in that case, the transferrin saturation remains below 20%, but the lower limits of normal for ferritin is 100 micrograms per liter instead of 30 micrograms per liter.
So, Peter, could you tell us what's the preferred route of iron administration in IBD?
Well, there was a recent meta-analysis by Lee and co-workers, which was published in the Journal of Crohn's and Colitis, and they showed that the intravenous route was superior to the oral route in improving the serum ferritin concentrations. There was also a slightly higher increase in the hemoglobin level, although the absolute difference was small, about 5 grams per liter, and so the clinical significance is unclear. I think that strong indications for the IV route are patients with severe disease in which you presume that there is some kind of malabsorption, and in patients with severe anemia, which means less than 100 grams per liter. But patients with mild disease and with mild anemia can perfectly be treated with oral supplementation. And according to the recent ECHO guidelines, it is perfectly possible to reach the treatment goals with the oral supplementation in this patient subgroup.
Thank you. Is intravenous iron therapy less safe than oral iron therapy?
Well, certainly not. It is a misconception. In the recent years, several safe IV preparations have become available. The problem with oral iron is that 90% is non-absorbed, which means that oral iron is often associated with gastrointestinal side effects. In addition, there is some concern about the safety of oral iron supplements. There are some animal data and to a lesser extent also human data that oral iron may lead to the generation of reactive oxygen species. It's the Fenton reaction, and that this may lead to an exacerbation of IBD. The IV preparations are safe, and extreme side effects are extremely uncommon. You can have some local skin reactions, but this problem can mostly be overcome by slowing down the infusion rates. So the meta-analysis of Lee and co-workers showed that the IV iron is much better tolerated by the IBD patients, and that it's far less frequently led to treatment discontinuation as compared to the oral routes.
And what is the cost of intravenous versus oral iron therapy?
Well, oral iron therapy is extremely cheap. The costs range from 10 to 30 euros for a 3-month therapy. And IV formulations are at least tenfold more expensive. And you have also the indirect costs with the IV formulations, because you need hospitalization, you need nursing. So because the cost between the oral preparations and IV preparations is so big, there are some reimbursement criteria in most countries. And so for every patient, I think it's important to evaluate the costs and the benefits.
And finally, what should future studies on iron therapy address?
Well, I think that future studies should address the optimal management of anemia in IBD and of iron deficiency in IBD. When should we screen for iron deficiency and with what interval should we screen? And also, should we wait for anemia to occur to start the iron supplementation? Or should we anticipate and start our iron therapy when the phagocytin level is below 100? And then finally, I think it's very important to assess whether IV iron formulations are cost-effective and in which patient subpopulation.
Thank you, Peter.